Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
Welcome back. It's hour number three. It's game night on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690, your home of the Habs. Philadelphia Flyers are in town. Much more on that coming up. With Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, David Trentadue is here helping us out. Pierre Maguire standing by in Pittsburgh. About an hour ago, Ray Ferraro was working the Toronto Rangers game in Toronto tonight.
Absolutely. And one of the reasons is when Dale Weiss goes into forecheck and he makes contact with the player and the puck goes behind the net, Weiss can get on his horse and go around the net. And then the play gets reversed around, he can get back there, and he can force the play. Clarkson can't do that. So he's not a quick enough skater. He's not a great passer. He's been on the second power play guys all year. He's got one more point than all of us.
Yeah, I guess what the question was. Well, I guess it was an observation more than a question. Dale Weiss is better than David Clarkson. Of course he is. Who would have said that a year and a half, 2 years ago? And these guys, we're still waiting for a tour announcement. They have an issue with their drummer you may have heard about, but stay tuned for AC/DC's tour in support of their brand new album. It's Pierre Maguire time.
Pierre Maguire on TSN 690 is brought to you in part by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads. Bite into Dagwood's fully loaded, fabulous new oven-grilled beef and pepperoni sandwiches. Dagwood's delicious.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Welcome back, Mitch.
Thank you very much. Had a wonderful weekend in Boston, even with some snow. It wasn't that bad by Montreal standards. I thought I might see you, but then I realized you were actually in the Midwest.
I was in St. Louis.
Yeah, so you saw a pretty good hockey game. I saw a real good hockey game, too.
I saw your game, too.
Did you see me?
I got back in time, and I did not.
You did not see me. It was my goal for to be seen on NBC Sports. Yeah.
It was a good game, though. And P.K. Subban, obviously, had a tremendous weekend. Carey Price had a tremendous weekend. The Canadians throttled New Jersey, which was to be expected. We talked about that on Friday. But I think the biggest thing is they put out a real nice marker on the Boston Bruins by what they were able to do with them this entire season.
What I was really impressed, especially sitting where I was able to sit in some good seats, and I want to thank Chris Nyland for that. It was Knuckles' birthday yesterday, and he'll be back tomorrow. It's as you know, you're fortunate, like you know, I mentioned to Ray, and you know how lucky you are to be between the benches and have that kind of vantage point on a nightly basis. And I second what you have said many times. Members of the media once in a while should get down from beneath the ceiling and try to get as close to ice level as possible, maybe once a year, to realize what is going on down there. It's such a unique perspective compared to what we're used to. I was so impressed by how disciplined the Montreal Canadiens played on Sunday.
Oh, well, you should have been. I agree with you. They played a tremendous game. That was a great road game, especially when you consider it was a back-to-back situation for both teams, you know, in terms of the weekend. But I was very, very impressed by Montreal. And that's not to say Boston played poorly, because I didn't think they did. They just started running around a little bit and getting themselves into trouble and losing focus of their game plan. But no, Montreal has played well. Yeah, I know you were a little concerned with it last week after losing to Buffalo and losing to Arizona.
No.
And I told you to chill out.
No.
Not you, but the fans.
Yes, yes. Okay. I just want you to straighten. I'm not concerned about the
Canes. Now everybody's happy again. No need to be concerned last week.
Pierre, he is the guy who has the clearest grays into the crystal ball, right? You can see things before anybody else does, can't you?
Okay. I'll take you at your word. Thank you. But, you know, I think in a perfect world, Montreal's roster is not anywhere near complete. And I'm sure Mark is working, and from what I understand from talking to people around the team, he's working extremely hard in terms of trying to make sure that the roster is as good as it can be going into the Stanley Cup playoffs, because this team does have a legitimate chance to do and make some noise in the playoffs. This is a very fluid Eastern Conference, very, very fluid. The top teams are very, very similar. Speed is obviously a big part of the equation for the top teams. And if you can add a little bit more scoring, if you're Montreal, maybe a little bit more center ice size, you have a legitimate chance to make some serious noise.
So I want to pick up on what you alluded to right off the bat about, you know, sending the Bruins. There's a message there. They went the entire year after getting eliminated on home ice last spring. They went the entire year without beating the Canadiens. And if I'm the Bruins, in addition to the obvious speed element, once again, two guys who seem to have issues playing the Canadiens took bad penalties.
Well, what about Tuukka?
And Tuukka Rask.
A tough time with him too. But I would agree with you on Milan in particular. Milan's having a frustrating time, and maybe some of that goes back to the handshake line last year where he had the words with Dale Weiss, and it's carried over to this year. But again, I really commend Montreal. But I will say this, because I do Boston Radio too. I think the Bruins are a better team than what they're getting credit for, and I do think they're starting to heat up at the right time, and they're going to be a dangerous team. Now, can Tuukka Rask get over the mental gymnastics hurdle of playing the Montreal Canadiens? I don't know. Lundqvist was able to do it last year in the playoffs. I don't know if Rask can do it or not, but he better find a way to if he has any plan of beating Montreal.
Think about Lucic, Pierre. As you know, the late goal that they scored, that was a Milan Lucic rush up the middle of the ice.
Yep.
It led to the goal. He looked strong and fast and powerful. If he sticks, why does he just go, why does he lose it so easily against the Canadiens?
I don't know. It's a weird thing. It really is a weird thing. But again, I'm sure that they will have, whether it's Cam Neely or whether it's going to be Claude Julien or whether it's going to be somebody else, Doug Jarvis maybe, somebody's going to have to talk to him before they play Montreal again, if in fact they play them again in the playoffs.
Got to make sure that we keep being disciplined. You know, this is something that lately we try to establish ourselves as a good group of guys who's going to work really hard and compete, but there's a fine line about being undisciplined, and I think the guys find that line so far.
The warning for Michel Therrien ahead of the game against the Flyers, who've got some, as you know, powerful offensive guys on that power play. And just before we leave the Bruins behind, at practice today, Claude Julien made reference to the fact that, again, that the Bruins don't seem to get any calls. They don't get to go on the power play. And they were shut out in that department against the Canadiens. I don't know, maybe late in the game, I thought somebody collided with the net from my vantage point. I saw Dougie Hamilton shoot the puck over the glass, which is a penalty. Other than that, the Bruins played a very disciplined game, too, except for Marchand and Lucic taking two dumb penalties.
And I think both those guys will be addressed and talked to. You know, can I back something up?
Sure.
That you just talked about with the Montreal Canadiens. When I did the Rangers-Canadiens game, I think it was what, 10 days ago or something like that, and everybody was wondering why P.K. Subban didn't fight Chris Kreider. Remember when Kreider went after him?
Yeah.
And P.K. didn't want. Well, that was an order from the bench. Don't drop your gloves. P.K., get back here. So while I know a lot of people are condemning PK on that one, and I've been pretty vocal on it, supporting him, that was an order from the bench. That speaks to the discipline. They don't want to lose their best player to something like that on defense, their best player in defense. They don't want to lose that player. You saw the impact he had on a game on Saturday night, and clearly you saw the impact he can have a game on Sunday night in a very tough situation. So sometimes a lot of that discipline that the coach is alluding to, that comes from the bench, and it comes from peer pressure, and the Canadiens have done a really good job with that.
Well, the numbers totally back that up here. So December 1st, 2 months into the season, the Canadiens had taken the second most minor penalties in the league. It's December 1st. Since December 1st, over the last 2 months, now they've taken the 12th fewest. So they've improved by about 15 slots when it comes to taking minor penalties.
It's smart, because when you're a smaller team, as they are, you don't want to wear your guys out by having to use the same players over and over and over again, killing penalties and blocking shots. We've seen what the shot blocking can do to teams that have to do a lot of it. They get worn out and they have a lot of injuries. You don't want to have that. And a big part of penalty killing today is shot blocking. So it all goes hand in hand, part and parcel. Discipline leads to better offense, because you're going to be 5-on-5 or drawing penalties from the opposition and getting more opportunities to get Markov involved, Pacioretty involved, Subban involved, Plekanec involved, Weiss involved, Gallagher involved. So, no, it's all good stuff for Montreal right now, I think.
And one other thing, because they were on the ice for close to half the game, the Subban-Markov pairing, what is so impressive, there's so many things to like about P.K. Subban and Andre Markov, but the ability... He never seems to get hit behind his own net. His ability to retrieve a dump in and get it out. I mean, who's comparable to that in the NHL on the blue line?
Alex Pietrangelo is one. Duncan Keith would be another. Christopher Letang would be another. There are not a lot of them. You're hearing me talk. Eric Carlson in Ottawa would be another one. Seth Jones in Nashville, but there are not a ton of those guys. They're hard to find, those players. They really are. But those would be some of them. One of the things, PK's got tremendous, and Brian Leetch had this, Brian Rafalski had this, phenomenal two-step acceleration. I mean, phenomenal. Scotty Niedermeyer had it. And that's what creates that separation that allows them to have a little bit more time to look up ice to see what's coming and digest the traffic that's coming at them.
It was a huge weekend for us. I really liked the way that we played, and we got results on our side, but we understand this is it's a marathon, and those type of wins give confidence as long as you're performing the next day.
Michel Therrien after the skate today. Prior to the game against the Philadelphia Flyers, they have played better of late, Pierre. Talk a little bit about where the Flyers are at right now.
Well, obviously the Mason injury is huge. He's going to be out 2 to 3 weeks, so now they're really going to have to rely on Ray Emery. I mean, that's obviously going to be a huge issue. Now, Anthony Stolarz, who was called up, he's a kid from New Jersey that went out to play at Nebraska Omaha, played there for 1 year, and then went to the Ontario Hockey League with the London Knights. He's a lot like Ben Bishop. Now, I don't know if eventually he can beat Ray Emery out or not. I just don't know. But, I mean, I've seen Stolarz play in college. I've seen him play in junior. And I have not seen him play in the American Hockey League. But if you were going to use a comparable, he's a lot like Ben Bishop. But I think this is going to come down to whether Ray Emery can hold the fort or not. If Ray Emery can hold the fort, then they have a chance to still compete for a playoff spot. If he can't, then they'll probably be out of it by the end of this week or next week.
We know their power play is lethal. Everyone's talking about it, the third best in the league. But when you're so top-heavy, and when you look at their goal distribution, they score about 35% of their total goals on the power play. When you're that one-sided, doesn't it make you a bit more easier to defend?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Montreal used to go through this all the time when their power play would be 1, 2, or 3, depending on the given night, and they couldn't score 5-on-5. Absolutely correct. And that's the biggest thing with Philadelphia. They are top heavy, and it comes down to what's Wayne Simmonds going to do, what's Claude Giroux going to do. Obviously, Jake Voracek's been fantastic for them all year. Jake deserves a ton of credit. But they need more. They need more from Sean Couturier. They need more from Braden Schenn. They need more from those players. They need more from Matt Reed. So you're right. They're easier to defend because they are kind of a one-trick pony. Most of their scoring comes on the power play.
You know, obviously he's probably one of the top three goalies in the league, and you know, he's having a great season. And you know, my job is just to take his eyes away, you know, get in there, you know, just try to cause a little confusion for him, so you know we could pop some goals by him.
There's Wayne Simmonds, as we were talking about 6 weeks ago, a month to 6 weeks ago. One guy on the Flyers that realistically, who do you want? Well, we all want Claude Giroux, we all want Voracek and all that, but I'll take Wayne Simmonds.
I take Wayne Simmonds in a second. He's the best slot player in the game today. The guy that does the best job in front of the opposition goalie, has a hand-eye coordination to deflect pucks. He can battle through traffic. I think he's also the best board player in the game today. That means taking the puck from below the hash marks, from the boards to the front of the net. He's phenomenal. That is an excellent forechecker. And he's a little bit nasty. I am such a big fan of the player. I really am. The first exposure I had to him was the 08 World Junior in Pardubice in the Czech Republic. And the reason why he made that team is because Craig Hartsburg had coached so many big playoff games against Simmonds, or had watched him play in so many big playoff games. He said, I got to have this guy on my team because he's a competitor. And he stood out like a sore thumb at the beginning because he had a hard time dealing with the big ice. By the end, he was a really important player for Canada on a very good team.
Just as his penalty minutes and his fight numbers seem to be down than years past, Pierre, is that a conscious effort from Simmonds to stay out of the box and play a little bit more 5-on-5?
I think Craig Berube, who really understands how limited a roster he has, can't afford to lose his player, one, to potentially an injury because of a broken hand or something else, and two, because he needs his offense, especially on the power play.
Definitely put ourselves in a bit of a hole with just some inconsistent play, and you know, could definitely be a lot better on the road this year. But in saying that, there's no quit in this room, and you know, guys are still pushing right now, and you know, playing better as of late. So obviously, we got a great challenge tonight.
Luke Schenn,
yeah,
there's a warning shot for people.
Oh
right?
Man, that's one of the ones that breaks my heart. I remember, you can go check the tapes. He was put in the league as an 18-year-old. That never should have happened. On a real bad Toronto Maple Leafs team. Never should have happened. He should have gone back to Kelowna. He would have been one of the captains of the World Junior team in 09.
they rushed them. Because if you go watch the tapes of the 07 or the 08, excuse me, the 08 World Junior and the 07 Super Series, go look at guys that were on that defense like Carl Alsner, Drew Doughty, Luke Shen, and go look at how Shen compared to those players. He was right there with them, right there with those guys. And he was rushed into the league on a bad team, and Gord Miller and I both said it on TV. This was a huge mistake, and eventually we were proven to be right. It was a terrible, terrible decision by the Toronto Maple Leafs to do what they did.
And now really the team, bad. And now the team's worse in Toronto. They're hosting the Rangers tonight. That's where Ray Ferraro is.
Well, it's funny, Pierre, right? So they make that mistake with Luke Shen, and then 5 years later they have Morgan Rielly drafted almost at the same spot and playing as an 18-year-old too.
Yeah, there was one little difference between, and you're right, it's a fair point. The one difference between Morgan and Luke is different kinds of players. Morgan is more of a speed merchant and an offensive point producer and a creator. Luke would have been a shutdown guy with no points. He never was a point getter. He would have been a really good shutdown guy. But his physical spirit got crushed a little bit like Komisarek because guys used to challenge him all the time. And he wasn't ready to handle it. With Morgan Rielly, it's a little bit different. You look at his pedigree going back to Moose Jaw, and you watch him play there, and then you watch him in the World Junior, and then you watch him in the World Championship. He's only 20 years of age, but he's been able to play and hang with the big boys because his pedigree is clearly defined. He's a skater, a puck mover, not a shutdown guy.
So I mentioned, I throw this at you, he's everybody's list of favorite players around the NHL, not your home team, and that would be Marty St. Louis. Scuffling right now with the Rangers. He's gone multiple games without a goal. I think he's got 1 point period in his last 7 or 8 games. And I know this could be like the so-called dog days of hockey, but I got to throw it out there. When a guy is his age, you wonder if this is more than a slump.
I still think he's got a little left. I'm going to do the Mark Recchi thing for you.
Okay.
And everybody wrote Recchi off, and I kept telling you that's ridiculous.
So he's got another 4 solid years left, Marty St. Louis.
No, not that many.
Well, Recchi was at 43, right?
I know. No, but yes, he did. No, but I don't think Marty has that. But I do think Marty's got at least this year and next year. I do. I really, truly do. I watch him work out. I watch him practice. I see him. He's in good health. He's in good spirits. Obviously, he'd like to be producing more. I have faith that he's going to be able to rebound from this.
All right. Big news around the NHL is David Clarkson, as you heard off the top, a healthy scratch for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah. What was Horachuk asked today after the skate?
He was asked if he knew how much Clarkson made in salary.
And what did he say?
He was aware, but he doesn't make his decisions based on how much players make.
Well, that's the way it should be.
You know what the best answer would have been? Not my job to know what the player makes. My job is to know what the player can do. Because I don't care what players make. If I'm coaching the league, not my job. I didn't negotiate the contract. The general manager negotiated the contract. My job is to make the player the best that he can be. That's my job.
Well, that's kind of what he said. That's kind of what he said, right?
Which is good. Good for Peter. That's great. Here's the one thing. It blows me away how all of a sudden this is – David Clarkson was an undrafted player coming out of the Kitchener Rangers organization. Not one team in the NHL drafted him. He played in Belleville and Kitchener. It wasn't like he wasn't playing at a high level or with good players. He was an undrafted player coming into the NHL. Have you ever met him? He's not an overly large man. His body weights are inflated. His bone structure is not big. He's fought some titanic battles throughout the course of his career. Why do you think New Jersey didn't bring him back? It's the same with Brian Gionta. Why do you think New Jersey didn't bring him back? They liked both players a ton, but they weren't going to pay him the money that these other teams were. That's just the reality. That's what makes me comically laugh. New Jersey is one of the most amazing teams when it comes to identifying their players' strengths and weaknesses, and they know when to punt on guys. They really do. They're phenomenal at that. I would not be taking any unrestricted free agents out of New Jersey ever if I were an NHL team.
You mean somebody who came through the system? You don't mean like
that's what I mean. Because they know. They know the guy that started with them, and they know the guy that's in the middle of his career, and they know the guy that's at the end of his career. They know. They are so good at Lou Lamoriello. So whatever you think of him, I'm telling you, he is the master expert of his team. He knows every single guy, every single move, when guys are losing their hands, when guys are losing their feet. He knows it better than anybody. He's phenomenal at that.
Yesterday on this show with Connor McKenna.
Gets rattled by Ovechkin with a seismic hit in Vancouver, at which point I decided there is no way that he's going to leave the KHL. He was playing for Omsk, Jager, because you're not getting hit on the big ice like that. And yet, lo and behold, he comes back, signs in Philadelphia, and he's Yoda. He's now the wily veteran who works so hard and does everything right, and everyone loves him.
Dripping with sarcasm, Michael Farber. I don't think he's a big fan of Jaromir Jagr's.
Well, Jaromir got lit up like a Christmas tree. I was doing the game. I was about 15 feet from that hit that he's talking about when Ovechkin lit him up. That was scary, how hard a hit that was. And Jaromir went right off the ice. I can tell you it was scary how hard that hit was in the Olympics in 2010. But the one thing, if you get a chance, whoever's going to the game tonight for the station, ask Jake Voracek about the influence Jaromir Jagr had on him. Ask Claude Giroux the influence that Jaromir Jagr had on him. And I can tell you, talk to any of the kids that are coming through Kladno right now in the Czech Republic, where Jaromir Jagr owns a team, about the influence Jaromir's had on him. I think Jaromir's done a lot of growing up, and he's had a significant influence on a lot of young players in the game.
Pierre Maguire's in Pittsburgh. Jaromir Jagr, do they want him back? Would the Penguins take him back?
Would it make sense for them? But again, I'm going to go back to what I said at the beginning. If Ray Emery can't get this thing done here the next little while, I think it's going to be, you know, they're going to know realistically where they're going to be by the end of next week. So I can't see them being aggressive in terms of bringing back.
No, Pittsburgh.
Players. Do you know what I mean?
No, but I mean Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh?
Isn't that where you are?
I am, yes, sir, I am.
Do you think the Penguins would have any interest in bringing Jagr back?
I would say probably not.
Yeah. Okay.
I would say probably
not. But you'll know more tomorrow.
No, I would say probably not. I could find out more tomorrow, but I'd say probably not. You know when in the under-the-radar teams that might be interested in bringing Jaromir back?
Not Boston.
No. New York Rangers.
Uh-huh. So there could be a tug of war going on with some Eastern Conference teams, right?
That's what I mean. I think I think there's going to be an interesting arms buildup as we go along here. I'll say what I've said to you so much in the East in particular. There's a certain level of team, and everybody kind of knows who they are right now, that are at the top of the food chain, but they're all very similar. And so I think the general managers this year more than ever could really play an outcome in terms of how the teams do in the playoffs just by their acquisitions going into March the 2nd.
More on that trade deadline approaching when we come back. Pierre Maguire in Pittsburgh, thanks as always. We'll do it again tomorrow.
You got it, my friend. Great night. Good to visit with you, Mitch.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.